Gosh, I'm having real internet trouble tonight. All right, welcome to our Likutei Sichas project, Sicha on Parshas Vayishlach. We're in Chelek Yod, and this is Sicha Beis. Our Parsha this week, Parshas Vayishlach, begins when Yaakov is getting ready. He's coming back to the land of Canaan, and he sends messengers at the beginning of the Parsha to meet Esav. And we read all about his meeting with Esav and how they greet each other, how he sends Esav all the presents, and Esav goes kind of on his way. Esav wants to go with him. Yaakov says, no, go on your own. I've got a lot of animals and my family with me. And then we read about the story of Yaakov coming to the land of Canaan, the story of Dinah and Shechem. And then we finish off, we have the story of course, the birth of Binyamin. And then once we finished with the birth of all the Shvatim, we come to the very end of the Parsha, where we have a little bit of a summary about Esav and what happened with Esav. And what we're going to look at tonight's Sicha is a Rashi Sicha. As we can see in this in Pasuk Vav, where we're going to start, when it talks about what actually happened with Esav, it starts actually here a little bit earlier on in this beginning of chapter 36, Perek Lamed Vav, where it talks about Ela told us Esav who Edom, and these are the generations of Esav. And then it goes on to tell us all the children of Esav's family. And then in Pasuk Vav, this is what we see. Esav takes his wives and his sons and his daughters, right? All the people of his household, which would mean all of his servants as well, Miknehu usually means the cattle, as we can see, cattle. That's called Behemto and all the animals, that's called Kinyanite, everything, all that he had acquired, Sherachash Be'eretz Canaan, that he had actually acquired in the land of Canaan, by Yelach El Eretz Bepei Yaakov Achiv. He went to a land, in other words, to another land, because Yaakov, his brother. Now Rashi says, Yelach El Eretz Lagur Basher Yimtza. So we see here at the end of the Parsha, Yaakov is coming back to Canaan, and we see here that Esav gathers up his entire family and all of his property, and it says, and he goes to any land because of Yaakov, his brother. And as we can see, Rashi says, any land, wherever he might find space. The next pasuk, the pasuk tells us why. Why did Esav leave? Ki haya rechusham rav mishevis yachlav. Their possessions were too numerous for them to dwell together. The land of their sojournings, in other words, the land where they had been living, not support them. Lasais literally means to carry them. Mipnei miknehem, because of their miknehem, right? Miknehem, livestock. We had here miknehu, his cattle. And here, though, we have an interesting thing. When we look at these psukim, Esav is leaving. It says very clearly he had a lot of possessions. Then the pasuk says he's leaving another land because of Yaakov, his brother. Next pasuk tells us why, because they had their possessions were too numerous for them to dwell together. Rashi then says, Lo yachla eretz mugurehem, right? That's what these words were. The land of their sojournings could no longer carry them. Rashi says, Lo yachla, his title, and we know the title is very important. The title, the land of their sojournings could not, what? Rashi says, "Lahaspik ma'el behema shalahem," not provide sufficient pasture for their animals. But then Rashi goes on; he doesn't stop there. Medrash Agada, the Medrash tells us, "Mipnei Yaakov Achiv," this is because of Yaakov, his brother. "Mipnei Shtar Chov Shel Gzeras," because of this contract, this debt that was written and decreed. What was that? Avram Avinu, ki ger yezar acha. Avram was promised and told that his children were going to be strangers. And this was the promise made to Avram, muta al zar she yisrak, that was then going to fall upon, become the obligation of the children of Yitzchak. Amar, so Esav says, let me get out of here. I don't have a portion, the gift, for this land was given to Yaakov, so I don't have a portion in the gift. And not in the pera on ashtar, not in the payment of this debt. And also because of the shame, shemachar b'chura that he had sold his birthright. Okay? So this is the actual Rashi that the Rebbe is going to discuss in this particular sicha. So now let's have a look at the actual sicha inside. So the sicha itself. Of course, the beginning of the sicha, the Rebbe is going to quote the actual Rashi. The parasha seinu misupar. And so in our parasha, we are told. That Esav lokaches nashav, Esav took his wives. He went off to some land, anywhere that way he could go because of his brother. And right away, in the very next pasuk, Mavuar Hatam, the Torah itself gives us a reason. Because they have too many possessions to sit together. And so therefore the land could not support them both. Rashi, of course, we know this is an important part. In his title, he quotes these words: the land could not carry them. Umafarsh and explains, Lahaspik Ma'ilbahemashalahem, that the land could not give enough pasture for their animals. But then goes on, and then quotes a medrash. Okay. So now we come back to a principle that we had in our last week's sicha. We know that Rashi's intention always in all of his explanations, Kavanas Rashi specifically in this explanation, Ladas Mefarsh, based on other commentaries of Rashi. They say, what is Rashi's issue here? The land could not carry them because of their mikneh. So most Mefarshim Rashi say, what's Rashi's problem? When you say the land could not carry them, what does that mean? It obviously doesn't mean literally, because how could land carry possessions? Mipnei kaiv them because of their how heavy they were. And therefore, because it can't be explained literally, that's why the other Mefarshim say Rashi had to tell us that the land carrying them meant providing pasture for them. Hainu shevelo yachla lafeis asam parusha shelo yachla lahaspik sarchayim. The land not carrying them meant the land did not was not able to provide their needs. So based on this Rashi, we know the Rebbe is always going to ask the questions about the deeper Hamasil. We'll ask questions, especially like here, we have more than one answer. We want to know why. So now we have our questions. If Rashi's intention is to explain these words, the way the commentaries would like to say, that it's the problem of to carry them because of their mikna, and therefore explaining lahaspik mar el behemet shalahem, that it's about giving sufficient pasture, then that should have been his title. He should have used those words from the pasuk, v'lo ha'tevas v'lo yachla eretz megureihem, and not the words the land of their sojournings could not what, right? If it was about carrying them, those are the words that should have been in his title. Next thing, Mike Mashmalon Rashi Perushai, what is Rashi really telling us in his answer? What do we need it for? Harai muva me'atzmai shekan, it's actually understood even without this Rashi. When you're talking about land, we already know that you can't say the land can't literally carry something. We know that. And of course, that's what it would mean. The land can't carry, it means land can't support. That's how land support things is with the greenery, right? Pasture for the animals. So in general, what is Rashi telling us that we wouldn't have known without the Rashi? And the question gets bigger. which is Lech Lecha, that in our part, in Parshas Lech Lecha, we know, Kfar Perish Rashi al Pasuk, Lo'inasa Oysim Ha'aretz, we know that when we hear the story of Avram and Lot, and when they came back to, again, to Eretz Canaan, the Pasuk there also says, Lo'inasa Ha'aretz Oysim, Lo'haysa Yichayel Lahaspik Mar L'Mekneihem. Rashi already told us that this idea of a land not being able to carry is the idea of not being able to give enough land for pasture. If that's the case, here Rashi's repeating the same thing. So it can't really be about these words because Rashi's already explained them. And we know he's a Ben Chamish L'Mikra Rashi, and that's a child who does not forget what he's learned. So he's learned this before. It shouldn't be a question for him here. Why does Rashi change the wording of the pasuk? The pasuk says mipnei miknehem, that he left because of their mikneh, and Rashi writes, I said the behemoth shalahem, they left because of their animals. So why does the pasuk say mikneh, which usually is a term used in the Torah for cattle, and why does Rashi change that to behemoth? And we can say there's a problem with the word of the pasuk. Ve'ein lo masha Rashi balafarish teves miknehem. We cannot say that Rashi is coming to explain what miknehem means in the pasuk. The word mikneh is a very common word in the Torah. We see it very often. So we can say that this is a word that Rashi needs to explain. Lo perish Rashi klum. And so we have it many times. And Rashi in other places does not explain what this word means. You say or mizu, and even more. The parshas again lech from parsha lech lecha nechtav le'el that we had before. Kaisef Rashi beperusha lahaspik mira limiknehem. There, when Rashi discusses what carrying, what the land carrying them meant with Avram and Lot, Rashi actually does keep the word mikne in his explanation. Hanishazoi tevet sheperish pashut. That means that this is a word whose explanation is very simple. Shere bekasef sham lo nisgar mikne, because there. Didn't say mikneh, but it's very clear that this is what it means, mikneh. Okay, and we all have to explain it. Question number four: Ma kash beperish lahaspik mer b'chulu. What is difficult about that first explanation that it's about the land not being able to give enough land for pasture, for grazing? Shemeshum zehutar rashi lahavi od perish. What is not yet understood that Rashi has to give us a second explanation? And we know that's one of the rules of Rashi, that if there is more than one explanation, there has to be a reason for it. There's got to be something in the first explanation that's not quite complete. So why do we have that? Ubefrat perish kashekahad kashas Rashi ba'atmehu loy alpi pshuta ki'im medrash agada. And especially if it's something, there must be something quite difficult about the first explanation that Rashi resorts to a medrash. That's not even according to the pshat, resorts to giving us a medrash. And as we know that Rashi, and generally, doesn't give us a medrash unless it's really needed. You say mizun even more. The perush b'parshas lechanah el mistabek rashi b'parish lahaisi yichayel lahaspik merely mikneim ve'enu maybe perush machayir. Especially this idea that the land not carrying that means it doesn't have enough land for pasture. This is something that Rashi has said the very same thing in another pasuk in parshas lech lecha. Didn't give us any other explanation for. So why here does Rashi have to give us another explanation? I space. Goes on or questions. Mamshik Rashi Perush. Rashi then goes on after that and says, Medrash Agada. The Medrash tells us, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv, Mipnei Shtar Chayv Shagzeres Kigei Yazarecha, Amuta Azar Shal Yitzchak. That's what we said before. This is because there was a debt, like a contract of debt that was given that the children of Avram and Yitzchak were going to be strangers. And therefore he said, Elech Mikan En Lichelak Lo B'matana Shana Allah Ha'aret Hazayis V'lai B'perna Shtar U'pnei Abusha Shemachot Paras. So this is the medrash that Rashi is quoting, not exactly like the actual medrash itself, but quite similar. Saying, Yaakov is saying, I don't want to have to pay this debt. I don't get the land. This land is not given to me as a present anyway. It's being given to Yaakov. Therefore, I don't want to repay this debt anyway to be strangers in a foreign land. And because of shame, he left. The Gambazet Sarach Lahavin, this second explanation of Rashi also has some questions. Number one, Yadul Klaloshal Rashi Perusha Ala Taira. We know Rashi has told us himself one of his principles, Shahodiyahu Atma Viparachas Brachis, as we saw last week. Rashi himself told us last week as well, when we quoted this Rashi from Brachis, Ani Labasi Ala Pshutai, that Rashi only comes to explain the literal, the straightforward meaning of the pasuk. Ulagada miyashavis divrei hamikra davar dibur alayfana, and it will only bring us agada or medrash when it fits in with the straightforward meaning of the pasuk. When he done that, and therefore, in our case right now, right, perish hamedrash gadol who hinacham ufarsh b'kra. It would seem here, again, this is similar to our last sicha. It would seem here that the medrash Rashi is quoting seems to be the opposite of what's explicitly written in the pasuk. Da'atam shevayelach el eretz who ki haya ruchusham gan v'lo yachol v'gaimer. It seems here that we have a pasuk that clearly states why Esav left. It says it quite clearly because the land couldn't carry them, couldn't hold on and support all of their possessions. So why would Rashi then come along and give us a medrash that seems to say something completely different? That Esav is leaving not because the land couldn't support both of them, but because he didn't want to have to repay the debt. He didn't want to have the present of Eretz Yisrael, didn't want to have to repay the debt of being a stranger in a foreign land, and therefore he says, I'm out of here. Why are we bringing a medrash that seems to be different to the pasuk? Beis, question number two. L'shaino shel Rashi. Rashi's words, mipnei habusha, he says, it's because of that, repaying the debt, and because of shame. He doesn't say, and some say, in other words, it's not like he's giving us a third reason. He's saying it, and then he's adding, and it's because of the shame. The Gedarka become a shemevi perish chadash. So he doesn't write and others say, or some say, the way he normally brings it in many places if he's going to give us another opinion, okay, another explanation. And therefore, from the fact that he doesn't do that, but he makes it sound as if it's one sentence, and because of the shame, that's showing us that according to Rashi, he does not see this second part, this idea of because of shame, as a second explanation from the Medrash. He sees it just as an extension of what he's just said before, of this first explanation. But then, we have to understand. It does seem to be something completely new if you look at the origins in the Medrash. Because in the Medrash, when this is quoted, the Medrash writes this as a completely new idea. It starts off, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, that Esav left because of the shame that he had in selling the birthright. But here we see Rashi is actually changing the Medrash by not quoting it as a separate person and just putting it into that one sentence, and because of the shame. It seems that he's Kailo Shnei HaTamim Yachad. He's bringing these two things together and making it as if it's one reason. And the question is why? Gimel, third question on the second part of Rashi. Kailo Shnei Rashi Einu Mustafik B'Zeh B'Tam Echad U'Maisif B'Tam. We always know because Rashi was not happy, it did not suffice to have the one answer. And he felt like he had to give us a second answer, a second reason. That means each one of these reasons on their own would not be enough to force Esav to leave the land of Canaan because Yaakov had come back. When we come back, nevertheless, nevertheless, it seems that the main reason for him going is because payment of this debt, this promise. So the idea of Esav leaving because he did not want to be responsible to pay back that debt, in other words, he did not want to have Eretz Yisrael and to be that child who was then going to have to be a stranger in a foreign land. So that reason, and then the second reason, or according to the Medrash of shame, those two things on their own would not suffice. But Sarach Lahavin, we have to understand, Ma'iha Difus Ba'atam B'Pnei Starchol, because the one about the payment of debt is the first one that Rashi brings, that means that one has some sort of advantage, and that somehow is a stronger reason, which is why Rashi brings it first. But nevertheless, no maspik, it's not enough. And therefore, we need a second reason, and it's also because of the shame. Okay, so we have these two responses, and we need to understand why we need both and why the idea of paying a debt comes before the second one. Next question. Now, we say that the reason he left is, again, he doesn't want to pay this debt. Madua iche isaviti ase ad la'achar b'yes Yaakov michar. He did not want to be the child who was going to inherit Eretz Yisrael and therefore have to be a stranger in a land that's not theirs. Why did he, and he didn't want that part, why did he wait to leave the land of Canaan when he waited until Yaakov came back? He already knew, it was already publicized, he already knew. He already knew that this was a contract made with Hashem and Avram and Yitzchak, that this is the gzer, this is the decree, that the child who's going to inherit them and get the land of Canaan and eventually would first have to be a stranger in a foreign land. He knew that. Because as soon as Yitzchak was born, that's when this payment started. As we know, the years of the Golos, at the 410 years they would have to be, started from the birth of Yitzchak. So he would have known that. So why did he wait till Yaakov came back before he left? Next question. It's a preface to that explanation from the Medrash. Before the Rashi brings us that Medrash, he gives us the title because of Yaakov, his brother. But those words were in that first pasuk, not the second pasuk. So why does Rashi then quote from the first pasuk and bring it in the second pasuk as the beginning of, as the heading for this particular Medrash? And not only that, Yisera Mizuh, even more than that, Harezer Raya Listar, the Parish Rashi. This idea is because of Yaakov, his brother, would seem to be a reason to actually contradict the Medrash. She'eno mishparcho de Avraham, kim mipnei Yaakov. It would seem to say that he didn't leave because of this contract that was made with Avraham, but it said mipnei Yaakov, he left because of Yaakov. So why does Rashi use this as a heading? Okay, so we've got a number of questions on these two Rashis. And in fact, answers will answer all of them together. Bahabir recalls that. What's the explanation of all of this together? The pasuk shelfnei zanemar. We saw very clearly in the pasuk that we started with. Vayikach Yaakov begaimer umafaret Yaakov Yisav took, and then we have the details. Mafaret the prat. We have the details in the next in the pasuk of what he took. Miknei his cattle, eskol behemtoi all of his animals, eskol kinyana everything he had acquired. Asher rachash be'eretz Canaan that he acquired in the land of Canaan. Vayelach el eretz he went off to a land. And then as a continuation of that, it says, ki hayruchusham stam rav mishavas yachdav. So the word ki, because, so it gives us the reason. Why did he go? The pasuk says clearly, because his rechusham, their possessions, and it says stam, doesn't say which ones, their possessions were too much for them to sit together. Shibapashtos. So when you just read those two pasukim in a straightforward manner, it would seem that I'll call Hanemar Lefnei said that when it says they left because the land they had too many possessions, it would seem that it refers to everything that was said before. In other words, what is all their possessions that could not the land could not support? It's Miknehu, the cattle, and Behemtai, and Kinyano, Asher Rachash, Be'eretz Canaan. It's everything. It's the cattle and the animals and all the possessions that they had. There just wasn't enough room for everybody. Well, Pizet Sarchleimar. Therefore, it would seem like you would have to say, the Zesha Kasim Messiah, below Yachla, Earth, Mugurim, was safe by some of Pnei Mikneim. Now, when it then says, and the land therefore could not carry them because of their Mikneim, Shabbapashtas, simply meaning, in the Inyan Chadash, this doesn't sound like a new item, it sounds like a continuation. Ki'im Bob Ahemjah Umavar, it seems to be coming just an elaborating, explaining, Zesha Haya Ruchusham Rav. Mishavas Yachtov. It's because their possessions were too much for them to be together. No, there wasn't enough room for all of their money and their wealth in one land. And Lokai Alkevas Miknehu Shabapasaka Kaidem. And it's not about the word Miknehu that was in the Pasuk, Hukarusho, Lahaspik Mara, Behemishalahem, Kim, Kerusho, Humilashim Miknas Kesef, Kol Rukusham. So because it says that Lokal Yachla Arts, Miknehem, the word Miknehem, yes, often in the Torah it means cattle, but it could also mean from the word Kinyan, anything that was acquired. So here, because it says that Rahusham Rav, it says they had so many possessions and therefore the land couldn't carry them, you would think that Miknehem would therefore mean anything that they had. Perishakasov, Lo Yachal, Eretz Megurim, Lasseis Isam, What does that mean then? The land couldn't carry them. Right? There wasn't enough space for them to support or to incorporate and have room for everything that they had. And that not just for animals, but in Bekesev, whether it was for money, or both an Achor in any other way. Yaakov and Esav couldn't hold all of their things together. And this would seem to be the opposite, though, of what we saw before with the story of Dinah and Shechem, and when Yaakov came to the land of Canaan, and Shechem went back to the people of Shechem, right? He said, you know, Yaakov, he wanted Dinah to marry his son, and he goes back and he says, I'm sorry, when Shechem wanted to marry Dinah, so they go back to the people of the city of Shechem, and they say, look, we might as well let them, like let's make peace with Yaakov, because there's no problem, the land is quite big enough, it's big enough to incorporate into, there's enough room in this land for both of us, for Yaakov and his family, and for us, so let's make peace with Yaakov. So now it seems to be saying, maybe that's what Shechem had said, but right now we have a lot more. Yaakov and Esav have many, many more possessions, and it's just not enough for this land. But if that's the explanation, then we have a very big question here in the pasuk. Lo yachla eretz megoreihem, the land of their sojourning could not hold them. Mivar zeh Yaakov Esav enim yachalim lagor Yaakov eretz Kanaan. Okay. So fine, we get that. Now, for whatever reason, they had so many possessions, the two of them could not live together in the land of Canaan. Okay, so there's not enough room. Esav was living in the land of Canaan. Yaakov was just coming into it. Why was it that Esav who left? You would think it's the opposite. Eretz Canaan hayah makom megurei shel Esav. Eretz Canaan was the land where Esav was already living. He was like settled there. Nafsh's baseline with all the souls of another, all the people of his household, the Chol Kinyano, and all of his possessions. But Lama Heetik Esav Meishavah Mepnei Yaakov. Why would Esav be the one to move his dwelling, move everything that he had set, all his settlement, all his home and his possessions? Why would he be the one to move? Because of Yaakov, who had just come from Haran. So Esav was already living in the land of Canaan. Why was he the one to go? If the land wasn't enough to contain both of them, then Yaakov, he could have argued that Yaakov should go find another place to live. He was there first. Okay? Especially, and Yisrael is even more so, lo matzino she Yaakov hishtadol she Esav yazav es aretz. We don't find anywhere that Yaakov did anything to try to convince Esav to leave. So it wasn't like there was pressure put on Esav because of Yaakov. The land couldn't support both of them. And Esav himself took his family and left. So in order to answer this question, why was it that if the land couldn't support them both, why did Esav leave? That's why Rashi copies those words. The land could not. The land could not what? And explains, lahaspik mir el beima shlehem. The land could not give enough grazing space for their animals. Hainu, she perished the lasais by some of pnei mikneim. In other words, Rashi is trying to be very clear. So what this means that the land could not contain or support all their mikneim. Who could prepare shlech chanal? It's like a parsha shlech lecha. In other words, it's not like we might think they could not contain or cannot hold all their possessions, the way it might sound from the pasuk beforehand, where it mentions their animals and money and all the things they got. But that it literally means animals. The land did not have enough place to give pasture, land for pasture for all the animals. And that is something to help us understand why Yaakov had to stay in the land and not Esau. Zoe had Gushas Rashi, the behemoth shalahem, to their animals. Lola Miknehem Bekasuk, not using the word Miknehem as in the Pasuk, Lishlol Perishanal, the Miknehem whom Lashon Miknekeset, because it's trying to negate that this Miknehem here is definitely not the acquisitions of money. It's not about money. It's about the animals. Al pizem move on. Based on this, we understand that Yaakov had a better reason than Esav. So he had something over Esav on this. And therefore, Esav is the one who left because of Yaakov. What is that? What is the explanation? How does this help us? Because the parshas Vayetze, the super Baruch, in our previous parsha, it's told at great length. The Yaakov Rachash Mispar Tsum Shel Tzayin U'Mitna B'Beis Lavan. We've already learned that Yaakov acquired, inherited tremendous number of sheep and cattle in the house of Lavan. As we saw last week, when Yifras Ha'ish Ma'oid Ma'oid, he grew mightily. Tzayin Rabbis, many, many flocks. And Kopesh Rashi, Paras Rabbis, Yaisir Mishar Tzayin. And also not only the Tzayin Rabbis, but also a cattle, cows, even more than anything else. Masha'enken Esav, but we know, so Yaakov then, he had lots of flock, sheep and cattle. But Esav, what was Esav? In Yano Hayot Tzayit, Ish Sadeh. His whole thing was to be a hunter, to go and hunt, calling Yano Sadeh, anything that you find in the field. Therefore, he doesn't have all these animals that need to graze. Therefore, when Yaakov came to the land of Canaan, he's the one who really needed a lot of land for to allow his animals to graze. So therefore, he had a better reason to remain in Eretz Canaan than Esav did. And therefore, when the pasuk clarifies that the land could not hold them both, lahaspik mara, didn't have enough land for grazing for both of them. Hare bazeh, so it was with that. That's why he had the precedent; he had priority over Esav to get the land. Therefore, magdish Rashi, that's where Rashi stresses the mash lo yachla hu lahaspik mara. That's why again he. Sorry, on Mira, that he says it was not enough. Mira, there wasn't enough grazing land. Shall be zem move on. Mashahalok Esav and Yaakov. Now we know why it was Esav who left because of Yaakov. Okay, so that gives us one reason. Now we understand why Rashi changed the wording. But we still have that question: why do we need both explanations? I'm gonna move on. But now we understand. She'i efshar l'Rashi li'stop prepares the levad. We still, from this, still not enough, because this cannot be the only reason why Esav would have left. It would be very, very difficult to say that the reason Esav is going to agree to start wandering from place to place is because of, you know, it's only right, you know, Yaakov has more flock and more cattle that need grazing land, therefore it's only right that I should give it to him. Since when is Esav going to do something because it's only right? And specifically, Yaakov is coming into like his boundaries, right? That's where Esav was living the entire time. Now Yaakov is coming to that land. Why would he think that he has to do anything and he has to leave for any reason for Yaakov? That wouldn't be enough. Because that just sounds like he's being the nice guy. Oh, you know what? You have more cattle than I, but so I'll go somewhere. Also, the Perzet in a movement, it's also not understood. Mike Mashmal and Tavis Akiv. If it was just this, that the only reason he left is because he felt, okay, Yaakov has, you know, he has precedence, he has more animals, he needs the land bet more. Why would the Pasuk say it? And why would Rashi therefore quote at the beginning, because of Yaakov, his brother? We could have just said he went to another land because of Yaakov. The fact that it says because of Yaakov, his brother, means that there's something about the fact that he was his brother that also made him need to go. That's why Rashi gives us an ad. He's stressing this is because, yes, Yaakov was his brother and there was this conscious debt that needed to be paid. And they were brothers. They were both the children of Yitzchak, with Nehabusha, and also because of the shame. Shebezeh, because of these two things, Muvenes Hasiba Lahatakas Esav Mipnei Yaakov. Now we understand why, again, why Dafka Esav left because of Yaakov. La'esav hayu tam she'azav et eretz Kanaan. You see, Esav had reasons for leaving the land. He had other reasons. L'chein, in other words, the reason because of the contract and because of the shame. Therefore, k'shen isgagul hadvarim v'lo yachla aretz megurim l'seis esav. Therefore, when things evolved that the land was no longer able to support both of them and all of their things, and all their possessions and their animals, and therefore it was necessary for one of them to move, because of Esav Esar. So therefore it was Esav who left, because it wasn't just one thing. He had other reasons to leave. And this was like the last straw, you could say. And then when Yaakov came back and realized there's so many animals that there was no way they could both be there together, he said, okay, I'm going, because he was planning anyway. Move on to Hamuvur. So based on this, we understand now that the measure, when we remember our question was, why would he bring a measure that seems to contradict what the Pasuk is saying? So now the Rebbe says, we see now, this measure is not saying something different to what the Pasuk is saying. It's actually elaborating and explaining what the Pasuk is saying. So in other words, the land, it was not enough to carry them, and therefore he left. Why was it? Zeuatam, because of this debt that he did not want to pay. That was the reason. Kizeut, the idea of her possessions was too much. Zeuatam rak al kolos ha'inyan. That's just in general. That was just the general reason why one of them would have to leave the land. But like the pasuk is very exact. Tahaya ruchusham rav mishevas yachdov. Right? The land was, it had too much possession for them to sit together in this land. So that's the general reason the Torah is saying that one of them had to go. But the Medrash is adding, it's not a different explanation, it's adding something. The land could not support both of them, but Lama Halach Esav v'pnei Yaakov. But why was it that it was Esav who left and not Yaakov? And therefore, we understand from the Medrash. But then move on to Yukoshal Rashi by Takas HaTevas, Medrash Gadam Mepnei Yaakov Achiv V'chulu. We understand why Rashi is stressing that. The second point, why is it Esav who's leaving? So that's based on that detail of Rashi when he copies the words because of Yaakov, his brother. But then Madgish Rashi, with this Rashi is stressing, Shata'amim Hamuvayim B'Medrash Agada, that the reason that the Medrash is bringing, Mevarim Rak Prakse, that Medrash is coming to explain this detail. Why the Pasuk, Madua Halach Esav Mepnei Yaakov Achiv? Why did Esav leave and separate from his brother Yaakov? Achiv is important. Rashi Matig Gantevas Achiv. Rashi quotes the word his brother, the Rames Dehin, Shaide Perzet. The star chayv yuvan gamkein shemuchak hakasov lahatishka haachva. So it's because of this contract of debt that had to be paid. Therefore, the pasuk had to stress the idea of their brotherhood, that they were brothers. Masha enkin v'lo yachla arsh tzarklam asherak derech agav masiv achiv. When you say the land couldn't support them both, the fact that they were brothers wouldn't be as important. It's more incidental. The land couldn't support the two of them, he and his brother. Avram liked the land couldn't support them either, and they weren't brothers. That wouldn't be so important. But if we're talking about why it was that Esav had to leave, and it's because of this debt, then it's important to say, well, why? Because they're brothers, and then there had to be a choice which brother was going to carry on this line and this promise from Avram and Yitzchak. Therefore, so now we can go to our next question. Why was it that Esav did not leave Canaan until Yaakov came back? This contract, this debt payment existed beforehand. Why did he wait? The pasuk before Shatam l'chol samura. Okay, the pasuk tells us in general. They had a lot of possessions. Why did they leave beforehand? Because in general, he only had to go once Yaakov came back and their possessions were too much for the land to support. Only at that point was he forced to go. And at that point, there had to be a change. In other words, until that point, until Yaakov came back, it wasn't necessarily clear or decisive yet who would pay this debt, right? Who would fill this contract? Maybe it would be both of them. So it wasn't clear which are. So even though Esav still lived in the land, wasn't clear. Why? The fact that Esav was still living in Eretz Canaan was just a continuation of the fact that he was living there because his father was living there. But when one of them would have to leave the land of Canaan, then the second brother who would remain, so if one leaves and the brother who remains then clarifies his opinion and his understanding and his agreement to pay this debt. The Zesha Mayach Rashi, the parish. And that's why Rashi elaborates when he says, the Lo Yachla Begimer, the land could not. And therefore, the land could not support both of them. Therefore, the two of them, they had to decide. The Laimaran to say, and they had to decide which one of them would leave, and therefore also which one of them would be the one to repay this debt. Azai Esav. And so at that point, Esav said, now, if that's the case, we can't both stay here, and the one who stays has to pay this debt of being a stranger, I'm going to go. I don't have a portion in this present of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Vlopi Pir on Ashtar, and therefore not in the repayment of this contract, of this debt. Okay, so that's one answer. Now, that was the first part. Now, remember though, Rashi also said, and because of shame. So what is not enough in this that we have to have more? Why did Rashi have to keep going? So we continue. This still is not enough. Even though Esav did not want to pay this debt, since the necessity to leave the land was only when Yaakov came, even though he had to leave, still, by him going now, this shows some sort of subserviency, Yaakov. And it's shameful, it's embarrassing for him in front of all the people because everyone would see, oh, Yaakov now came back. And because of that, Esav had to go. He can't be here. He had to go. So it's embarrassing. That's where Rashi adds, not as another answer, something else. The Medrash, the way the Medrash does it. The Medrash move on Tamim Elo Batur Perish Hapasuk Repay Yaakov Achiv. Because in the Medrash, they're bringing their explanations to explain the Pasuk. Repay Yaakov Achiv. Because we aim Shnei Perishim Bakasuk. And according to the Medrash, there's two different explanations for why it says that he left because of Yaakov, his brother. Either because of this debt, or because he was embarrassed. He had shame for selling the b'chayra. That's how the Medrash reads it. But Rashi, about Kavanas Rashi, when Rashi brings this Medrash, he's not, Rashi is not trying to explain those words. That's not his intention. Because again, remember, those words were in the first pasuk that we read. And therefore, that should have been his deeper hamaskel if he was just trying to explain those words in that pasuk. Instead, he's explaining it in the second pasuk. And therefore, it's not about those words. Because according to the pshat that he's leaving because of his brother, this is not the pshat that there was a debt and there was a contract they had to do. That's not what the pasuk says. Rashi is bringing us these words from Pnei Yaakov Achiv to try to help us understand why it was that Esav left to another land and not Yaakov. Why was it that Esav picked up and left? And this first answer about the debt is not enough. Therefore, because it's about the debt, it still would have been very shameful for Esav to be the one to have to leave. He was living there the whole time. And therefore, Rashi continues, "Umepnei habusha shemachar b'charatzai." That was also because of the shame that he felt because he had sold the birthright. Haina, what are we saying? That in general, what we understand is that the entire time Esav was living in the land of Canaan, it was mixed with this embarrassment. And especially in the presence of Yaakov, to whom he had sold the Bechira. So there was this idea of shame of what he had done, such a silly thing that he had sold the Bechira. And feeling ashamed of what he did, especially in front of Yaakov. And because of that, therefore, that's also understood why he would have left and not wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael when Yaakov came back. So even though this made it look like subservience in some way to Yaakov, ubusha, and also some sort of shame because he's like going out, like leaving, right? He's like being sent away from living in the same place. But because it was already shame that he was feeling the whole time, that was another reason why he went. But if it was only for this embarrassment alone, but just because he was shamed in front of Yaakov for selling the Bechira, that would not have been reason enough on its own for him to leave with his entire household. Therefore, move at times that rock by Safa. That's why this reason is only given as an addition, as an added explanation. Well, only after the other reason that there was some sort of a contract here that had to be, you know, decided who is going to be the one, who is going to be the child to pay that debt, who's going to be the child who is going to carry on this idea of your children will be strangers in a land that's not theirs. And that was therefore the main reason why Esav left. None, however, we still have to explain one more thing. This gzera, this decree that was told to Avraham Avinu, that your children are going to be strangers. And would tell us al zara shel Yitzchak, and that was then going to be the children of Yitzchak. He could see him because of shiyageim be'eretz loy lahem. It says very clear they're going to be strangers in a land that is not theirs. It doesn't say that they're specifically going to live in the land of Mitzrayim. And like Rashi says there, doesn't say the land of Egypt, a land that is not theirs. They're going to have to be strangers in a land. Therefore, you might ask, when Esav now moved from Canaan to Har Seir, which was Mechutz La'aretz Canaan, outside the land of Canaan, is that not repaying the debt? Is that not going off to a land that's not his? Why is that not considered as actually paying the debt, right? Becoming strangers in another land. But the answer to that, Abir Bazeh, Hagzer Hamutelis al Zara Shal Yitzchak, he liyos ger be'eretz le'lahem. There, this decree that was going to be upon the children of Yitzchak, as told to Avraham Avinu, was that they would be strangers in a land that's not theirs. Strangers. Hayinu shenimsa ba'aretz Megurai Kiger, the like Kitaishav, that they would be in this land as a stranger, not as a settler. Esav lo ratza lefraya hashtar chai b'chaim deger. Esav did not want that. He did not want to be a stranger in a different land. Kindafka v'yeshiv eretz b'chaim, as we see in the next passage, it says v'yeshiv Esav b'chaim there. Esav settled there. He was not a ger in that land. He settled. He did not want to be a stranger at all. And from all of this, so in all of this, there is a lesson in our Avodah. What is this lesson? This Meshach Zman HaGalus. The fact that we, the children of Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, we are the ones carrying that shtar, that contract, that bris between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. That we are going to be strangers in a strange land. That means any land that's not Eretz Yisrael, we are strangers in. Throughout Galus. What is that? Kalzman, Piran Hashtar Chayv. The entire time we're repaying back this debt. He is saying about Galus while we are in Galus. Ad Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, until we have Mashiach coming. Shiyocha Mochamas Hashem, will fight the wars of Hashem, Vinatzeach, Yivne Beis Amigdash, Mokhaimai. Will then be victorious, and he will build the base of Mikdash in its proper place in Jerusalem. But then after that, he will gather in all those of the Jewish people who are scattered around. which is Keitz HaGalus, that's the end of the exile. So up until that point, Adam Ladas, Ula Hargish, who Ger Be'eretz Loy, a person has to know and has to feel that we are strangers in a land that is not ours. We should never be settled in order to feel like, oh, this is wonderful. We're all so settled. We're so comfortable in Galus. We should always feel like a stranger. All the concepts that are Galus, whatever has to do with Galus and this material world that's not godliness, we should feel it's strange for us. Where should we be settlers? We should be a Taishav, the Chazak. And strong, the chol in yani Torah and mitzvahs. Anything to do with Torah and mitzvahs, in yani haneshama, spiritual matters. Because milichatchila we know that something the Friedrich Rebbe said very clearly, that our neshamas, our bodies can be in galus, right? When the NKVD and the KGB arrested the Friedrich Rebbe and threatened him. He said, you can threaten our bodies, but our bodies might be in exile, but our souls can never be in exile. So this whole idea, it's the same thing we had earlier in the first sikha of this week, the idea of Ayishlach, Malachim Mamish, the idea that again, that Yaakov, when Yaakov sent messengers to Esau, says he sent the physical, but the spiritual he kept. And this is the idea that physicality, that's a stranger for us, but the neshama, spirituality, never goes into galus. Our neshamas cannot be in galus. We wait for every moment for the true geula ayde Mashiach tzidkenu. They will take us immediately to our land. May that be very speedily in our time.